This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action. I'm Kent Blanford. Alongside me, Bridget Eyre.
Hello, everyone.
Bridget, the church has seven sacraments.
That's right.
Now, you would think that of those sacraments that we can have on a regular basis, we would take advantage of that.
You would think.
But we have one sacrament that is probably, I'd say, the most overlooked, the most underutilized.
Misunderstood.
Ignored sacrament that we have, and that would be the sacrament of reconciliation.
Yes, and we have my guest today in studio is Father Christopher Roberts. He is going to tell us a little bit about the sacrament of reconciliation. Actually, we're going to chat about it because I think there was a recent study that said that a lot of Catholics, there's been a mass exodus from the sacrament of reconciliation. I don't know when I read that study, but it's been a while ago. I'm not sure where we're at now, but it's still...
We're still not in great shape.
And, you know, when you have that mass exodus of people leaving the sacrament or not frequenting it or going to it on a regular basis, you have collective sin that is weighing down the body a bit.
That's correct.
So... I don't know. Let's talk about that.
Yes. Well, when it comes to the sacrament of reconciliation, I think the consensus is about 50 years ago. So in the late 60s, all of a sudden, people just stopped going to confession. Most studies indicate that it was something that took place, and we're talking months rather than years. And then it's never really come back. So...
Priests are there. They're there. They have regular hours for reconciliation at every parish. You can look at their bulletin.
Usually, it's a great time for me to read.
Now, it depends where you're at.
Yes, it does depend where you're. There are. I mean, certainly, my first 3 years at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, yes. I got very little reading done.
Yeah, but, at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, I have to stand in line and wait, which I think is really awesome. It's like great.
It's just because
such an encouragement. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes, yes.
Well, first let's start with what is a sacrament?
Yeah, so that might be a place to start. So a sacrament is an exterior sign of an interior grace instituted by Jesus Christ that makes present the grace that it signifies. Now, that
give an
is
example
a
of that.
Dense, well, let's think about what a sacrament would be like outside of the context of church.
Okay.
That would be a great thing. So if I had, and this is an example I like using with elementary school kids, if I had a sacramental stop sign, which is an external sign of the action of stopping. So we have a stop sign's a sign. So if a stop sign were a sacrament, the sign would make me stop. So if I tried to run the stop sign, it would jump out there, grab me, and make me stop.
Okay.
Against my will.
I think we need those.
So that would be an example. So if we want to look at one that is very common, simple, baptism.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Baptism uses water. It's a sign of purification. It's a sign of death, because if we have too much water, we're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a sign of life, because water is necessary for life. So that's a sign, and in the sacrament of baptism, which was instituted by Jesus Christ himself, we're washed of all original and actual sin. There you go.
So what happens in the natural is happening in the supernatural.
Mm-hmm. What's symbolized in the natural is happening in the supernatural. So like, say for example, when we talk about the Eucharist, bread and wine have to do with nourishing the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's a symbol of nourishment and other things, right? But that's just one example. And in fact, we are nourished, and it's also a symbol of life and death, and that's the grain has to die in order to become bread, and we have this kind of cycle, and it's also the representation of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection. So those would be examples of sacraments with which we're very familiar.
Now, let's talk about the sacrament of reconciliation. What is it, and where did it come from? Did the Catholic Church just make it up? Well, we always get accused of making stuff up. You know, I hear that all the time.
Yes, a lot of I'm not going to say what most people think, which it was created somewhere in the Middle Ages, you know, just to keep people down. In fact, the Sacrament of Reconciliation.
First, what is it?
Okay. It involves the confession of sin with a desire to repent in the presence of a priest, minister of the church, or bishop.
Okay. And where did it come from?
Well, it was the first gift that Jesus gave to the church after his resurrection. So we'll find in the 20th chapter of St. John's Gospel, Jesus appears.
Peace, upper room, right?
Peace be to you. Shows the apostles his wounds. They're filled with joy, the scripture tells us. He shows them his wounds again. Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Then he breathes on them, says to the apostles, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven, whose sins you hold bound are held bound. It's the first gift that Jesus gives the church, the power to bind and loose sins that he communicates to a particular set of people, not just all Christians, but to the apostles.
The office.
It's the office.
And if correctly. I'm a political science major, so you know I get that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a governance, a specific role. Each person has a specific role, just like the mother and the father, mm-hmm. the priest, the bishop, the apostles had specific roles.
Correct.
And duties. Mm-hmm. And command.
Yes.
And commanded to do that. So if Jesus died on the cross for us to get rid of sin, that's why Jesus came, right?
That's correct.
So we could get rid of sin, and he gave the apostles and their successors the ability to forgive sins.
Yes, to loose them.
To loose them. Why would we not confess those?
Well, there can be some confusion. What sins do I need to confess?
Okay.
And obviously,
That's a good point.
That's a good starting point, right? Because a lot of times people will not come to confession. I'm a pretty good person, you know. I haven't killed anyone. usually that's the standard.
That's the standard. I haven't killed anybody.
Good person. Haven't killed anybody. Haven't, you know, whatever. Robbed a bank. So the sacrament was instituted for the forgiveness of serious Pope's baptismal sins.
Okay.
So we see signs of this in the early Christian community. You'll see in James's epistle, chapter 5, verse 16, James says, confess your sins one to another. As you run into 1 John, chapter 5, verse 16, will specify. John says, if you see a brother sinning, pray for him and his sin will be forgiven. But if he's committing a deadly sin, I don't say to pray for that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's a distinction pretty early on. And there are plenty of lists of mortal sins, more serious sins in the scriptures. It might be a bit depressing to go through some of them right now. But generally, in the early church, it's clear. If you kill someone, if you deny the faith publicly, if you commit adultery, and you know, those three are pretty clear. And over time, there starts to be a growing awareness as people start to read scripture of what serious sins need to be brought to this sacrament.
So you went through a little bit of the history of the sacrament. What does a sacrament, why do we go to confession? I mean, why do we go?
Because it's the way that Jesus gave us for the forgiveness of serious post-baptismal sins. It'd be the starting point. Okay. So people say, I just go straight to God. Why mm-hmm. do I need to go to a priest?
Yeah.
Well, God said that if you want to go straight to me for the forgiveness of serious post-baptismal sins, you do it to a priest. So that would be the...
So it's out of obedience to Jesus, because Jesus set it up this way.
It's out of obedience, but God being God, he knows human nature pretty well, and he recognizes that we have a need to confess serious sins.
Talk about that.
Well,
I know what you're saying, and
yes, I
get it. And
yes.
We're both thinking, you know.
Think about, say, for instance, the desire people have to see a therapist, talk about things. And there's this need deep down inside. We know that we've done some pretty selfish things. we live in a world, just look around, mm-hmm. and we see, as angry as we get at what people do to us, mm-hmm. we must be doing some of that, at least, to other people.
Sure.
Probably a lot of it without knowing.
Not you and I, Father Christopher. Oh, Kent, you're really good over there, too. Of course we do. We do stuff. Yeah,
we're all sinners. We're
yes,
all sinners,
we are.
Right? We recognize that. And what the devil will do is he'll suggest, gosh, you know, God could never forgive that. He's the accuser.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to arrive at peace and to hear those words, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Beautiful words.
Best words ever.
Yeah, they are the most beautiful words that I can hear and say. We have a need to know that even in the deepest, darkest parts of our life, Christ is still there loving us. And the objective encounter with the embodied presence of Christ is necessary. We're not pure spirit. We take in our spiritual experiences through the senses.
Mm-hmm.
And God gives us the sacraments so that we're able to do that.
It's such a wonderful gift, too. You know, I mean, Jesus has given us so many gifts that sometimes we just kind of blow them off and we don't avail ourselves of those. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with Father Christopher Roberts talking about the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Stay tuned.
Start your weekend off right with Catholic Radio Indy's Saturday morning lineup. Join James Littleton for Forming Faithful Families at 9, followed by the pro-life message of I Choose Life at 9:30. Then enjoy today's music with a Catholic message at 10 on Catholic Jukebox Indiana. At 11 o'clock, we'll share an hour of Catholic thought and philosophy on the Catholic Cave. And at noon, it's time to grab a bite, sit back, and enjoy some food for thought with two episodes of Faith in Action. That's the Saturday morning lineup from your source for 100% Catholic programming, Catholic Radio Indy.
It makes me feel good. It makes me a joyful person.
Through you guys and the work that God does through you, it's brought joy to the people that I'm around because I'm a different person because of you guys.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you been married and have since divorced? Do you think your marital status prevents you from coming to church? Most Catholics and non-Catholics unfortunately have a lot of misconceptions about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Pope Francis has recently encouraged all people with questions about marriage to make an appointment and talk with their parish priest. As Catholic priests, we look forward to the opportunity to help you on your journey through life. Please make an appointment to speak with the priest today. We are and will always be here for you.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. I'm here with my guest, Father Christopher Roberts, and we're talking about the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And Kent had a good question. I think we're going to let him go.
But, you know, one of the things, most people are very uncomfortable in confessing their sins, confessing that they're less than perfect, even if it's just one-on-one with a priest. But we have to look at the fact that, you know, we are very blessed today in the fact that in the early church, wasn't confession a public sacrament?
Yeah, go to James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, confess your sins one to another. So the public confession of sin was also accompanied by long public penances, years sometimes, of certain penances. So the development of the sacrament, it's the most complicated in terms of development, but you start to see even in bodies that broke away from the church, so like the Church of the East and the Copts in the 5th century, so the 400s, have that sense of one-on-one confession. And moreover, the idea of what is shared in that one-on-one encounter stays in that one-on-one encounter. So that is it's a lot easier now to be able, sometimes I wonder if, you know, in place of the confession of sin at Mass, we had people step forward and tell all of their serious sins at the beginning of Mass, if more people might come just to see what was going on in town that week.
What did they do?
Welcome to reality Mass.
I'm never going to think of that part of the Mass ever the same since you said that. So what happens in the confessional? So Can you kind of walk us through, just people, maybe they haven't been in a while, maybe they've never been.
Yes. So the first thing I would say is the only thing you need to know about the sacrament to go, obviously you have to be a baptized Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know your sins, be sorry for your sins, and want to change.
Okay.
That is if that's at the bottom. Everything else you can be coached through. But a lot
know
of times.
Know your sins, be sorry for your sins, and want to change.
Yes, okay. those three.
And some people don't want that. So they're just like, I'm living with my boyfriend, and I have no intention of changing, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yes, sometimes. And, one of
so there's no reason for me to go.
Well, there's this great story of,
we're off track again.
We're off track a little bit.
That's okay.
You have to be, you can even, let's say, if I'm sorry for being sorry, not being sorry, we have the beginning of what we'd call imperfect contrition.
Okay.
So it's so
come to confession, right?
The standard is pretty low, unless you're just saying, I am resolute that I'm going to keep on doing this sin.
Because okay.
The fact is that most of us struggle with the same things, and we realize that apart from a special grace of God, and we are probably going to come the next time
again.
We come to confession, we're going to have a similar list, even though we really don't want to.
Right,
so that would
right.
be one thing. So how does the sacrament unfold? You make come in, the priest will make, if he's going by the book, the sign of the cross, and it's customary to say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned," which is really not strictly speaking necessary. What you need to do is then say, "This is the amount of time since my last good confession. This is my state in life," which I'm a priest. Mm-hmm. So every time I go to confession to someone who is not a priest friend, I will start out with, "It's been X number of weeks since my last confession, and I'm a priest." Okay, so imagine that if you're embarrassed, right?
Mm-hmm. Like,
and despite the fact that I'm a priest, these are the ways I've struggled to be Christ-like. So you start with that, and then you'll list your sins, being careful to list your mortal sins, serious sins, which involve serious matter, full consent of the will, and free choice. So you have to have all three of those. So like missing Mass on Sunday, well, if you thought it was Monday,
mm-hmm.
then even though you missed Mass on Sunday, and but you really thought it was Monday, okay, you might be off the hook on that one, for example. So you list your mortal sins, number and kind. So, I did this sin, being not totally specific, because most of the time the priest doesn't want it down to the gory details. Just say what it was,
mm-hmm.
say the number of times you did it. And if a lot of times people will come to confess venial sins or less serious sins, and then you talk about certain tendencies as, golly, I overate.
I've been drinking too much.
Well,
whatever.
Drinking too much can be a mortal sin, but as I say, I'm smoking, for example, something like that, and it's bad for my health, and I know it, and I, whatever. So you go through, finish that, list your sins, then the priest will usually say, "And you're sorry for all the sins you might have forgotten, all the sins of your life," just to make sure you're done, because the last thing you want to do as a priest is cut someone off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good advice to start with the big ones first.
Okay.
Right.
I'll keep that in mind.
Instead
of working my way up.
No. Just dump the load at the beginning, right? You're not gonna be able to, like, see, a lot of people think they sneak it in. Maybe the priest won't hear me. No, dump the load at the beginning. It's because you're gonna relax and you're gonna enjoy the rest of the confession a lot more. And God forbid you avoid the possibility of not confessing the reason that you came there. So then the priest will, if the layperson, the priest, or if the penitent is interested in some counsel, usually that's something that the penitent will make clear, or the priest might say some words and then ask, do you want to talk about any of these things more? And feel free to say no. And then the priest will impose a penance, usually very light. My personal favorite is One Our Father. And then give absolution, pray the prayer of absolution, and then dismiss the penitent, usually saying, "Go in peace," which thanks be to God is usually the way Catholics just instinctively respond
thanks
when they hear
something. Thanks be to God, that's over.
Yes, yes.
I made it, I didn't pass out. That's
the sacrament of reconciliation in a nutshell.
So what are some of the obstacles to going to confession for people, do you think?
Well, I think for myself, I can speak about one of them, and I go pretty regularly, I would say every time I feel like the priest is going to say, you're hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe you did that. And it's never happened. So that would be one thing. It's just the fear of being rejected,
mm-hmm.
or the fear of, so that would be one thing. Some of it is probably people live in denial,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot easier to pretend that those things just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the sad thing is that's when things start coming out sideways, when you deny something kind of deep in you, that some deep guilt. So that would be one thing. I think sometimes people will say, I could never look at someone in the eye and say that. And of course, the answer to that is go behind the screen.
Right.
Most priests prefer to hear confessions behind the screen. So there would be some of that.
And that's a good point that you make, that, you know, some people, you can go either face-to-face or you can go behind the screen.
Well, a lot of parishes now are going to just behind the screen. The priest has the right to hear confessions only behind the screen if he so chooses.
Kent, you had something you want to say?
I just kind of want to slip in a confession story.
Yes.
Years ago, I used to teach first and second grade religion classes. And we were preparing a group for their first reconciliation. And at the parish I was at, there was a pastor there named Father Larry Crawford, rest his soul. Big Irishman, big, loud, boisterous man. And a lot of the kids were very intimidated by him. And it was time for their first reconciliation. And this one little girl came up to me before she went in. She says, I just don't know about this. I don't know if I can do this. I said, I'll let you in on a secret. He's a teddy bear. He may be, you know, big and loud and gruff outside, but once you get inside that door, he's going to be just as kind to you as you'll ever wish. And she went in for her, and she came out with this huge smile on her face. And she looked at me, she says, you're right. He was so nice to me. He is a big teddy bear. Well, I told Father Crawford about this about a week later, and he says, what are you trying to do? You're trying to run my reputation around here. But rest his soul, I know that 90% of the priests, 100% of the priests out there, once they enter that confessional, no matter who they are outside of the confessional, they're looking to provide compassion once that door closes.
Yes. And there's the saying is very easy to remember, that I heard a lot in seminary, is like a lion in the pulpit, but a lamb in the confessional.
And, you know, I think people are afraid to go. They're afraid to be accountable. They're afraid to actually say those words, I did X.
It's similar to a fear of going to a doctor,
right?
We recognize that going to a doctor is not going to make us sick.
Right.
It's only going to give us healing. But it's something about facing the reality that we're sick and that we might need some sort of medical help that actually makes us worse.
Very true. So how is the sacrament of reconciliation connected to salvation?
Okay. Well, this is a difficult one because people are so scared of it. One thing we recognize with the sacraments is God binds himself to the sacraments but is not bound to the sacraments. Okay. So in extraordinary circumstances, God can find a way to reach a person who's unreachable. Okay. If there's the desire for it.
But that'd be the extraordinary way.
In the normal order of grace revealed by God in the Bible and the tradition of the church, the sacrament of reconciliation is necessary for salvation of someone who has committed a serious post-baptismal sin.
So baptism wipes it away.
You get a clean slate, but if you...
Who's perfect between baptism and...
Yeah, there might be some saints who didn't strictly... They probably went to confession more than anyone else, but there might have been some saints who never committed a mortal sin. But for the vast majority of the rest of us who really, really struggle to be good, I would say that it's indispensable.
So what happens to us when we are in confession? I mean, what graces do we get from going to the sacrament? And I also want to ask, how often should Catholics go?
It's a renewal of the grace of baptism. So if baptism forgives all actual sin, confession does. So it's you know, we've kind of dirtied our baptismal garment, and we're wiped clean. We get a fresh start. That's the grace. Now, in terms of frequency, usually the conventional wisdom is not more than once a week.
Okay.
Now, look at, say, for instance, the Oratory of St. Philip Neri. It was mandatory for priests in the oratory to confess twice a week.
Okay.
But that changed around Vatican II. But not more than once a week. Pope Francis talks about how he goes every fortnight, so every 2 weeks. I myself tend to go every week or two. The Church commands Catholics to go to confession once a year so that they can confess mortal sins. And that's a ecclesiastical law that's about 800 years old. I would say a good frequency is for someone who's not struggling with serious sin and someone who's not a priest, because I would say priests, when we sin, it's a lot bigger deal, right? Because we're really that affects our flock. So I would say priests should generally, in my opinion, go pretty frequently, every week or two. But a lay person, I'd say somewhere between quarterly and monthly.
So what is it like to be a priest and hear confessions? I mean,
it varies, right? Sometimes you'll get really intense. It's a really intense experience. And then you'll get something like the First Communions, which one priest described as it's like being, pelted nonstop with popcorn.
well, we'll keep that in mind for the future. So would you give our audience a blessing?
Sure. May the blessing of Almighty God come down upon you and reign with you forever, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Christopher, for being our guest today.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.